All right. Hey, family. Welcome to the Daughter Podcast, a place that is dedicated to the total wellness of the total woman. My name is Samantha Grimes, and I am a certified Christian counselor, life and business coach, and the CEO of Daughter LLC, a private practice, ministry, and movement that offers a wide variety of coaching and counseling services. If you are interested in a free consultation to answer any questions or to get a quote, or you want to go ahead and book a one-on-one session, a group service, or anything we have to offer, please feel free to email us at samantha.grimescc@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok at DaughterHSB. All right, family. As you know, I have great goodies for you guys, but they will be saved to the end. So please be sure to watch this episode all the way through or listen to this episode all the way through so that you can hear about all the goodies that we have going on in Daughter LLC right now. Ooh, all right. Had a little bit of a remainder of a belch in my throat. But family, we're going to open up with prayer and then we're going to get into today's podcast episode. All right. Well, Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We honor you. We glorify you. We bless the name of the Lord. And we decree and declare this day, God, that you are holy, that you are worthy, that you are righteous, that you are mighty, that you are magnificent, that you are perfect, that you are good. And right now, Father, we just invite the Holy Spirit afresh into this podcast episode, knowing, God, that there's nothing we can discuss of real meaning without the Spirit of God. So right now, Holy Spirit, lead the charge. I pray now let every person listening to this episode or watching this episode be supernaturally touched and impacted. Let it speak directly to their situation. Let it speak directly to their heart. Let it speak directly to them, Father God, and let it cause a greater and closer relationship with you. Let it cause healing. Let it cause breakthrough. Let it cause true freedom and rest, Father, like never before. I pray now for the supernatural anointing and the glory of the Lord to rest upon my life, and let every word that comes out of my mouth be your word. Words and not my own. Father God, I pray over my notes. I pray over my intellect. I pray over anything and everything that I have going on, and I submit it and surrender it to you. Let it be all of you and none of me. I pray now, God, that you get all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor, that this may advance the kingdom of God, and that we may come back into the greater revelation that we are the beloved of Jesus Christ. We love you, we honor you, and we thank you for it now, Daddy. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. So we are, I know the title might, you know, take you off guard. Like, what are we talking about? We're going to get into it. But the topic for this, well, the topic for this season three is adulting. And the topic for this episode is purity, convictions, and Babylon. You're going to have to listen to this episode to fully know what I'm talking about. But the name of this episode is Purity, Convictions, and Babylon. Okay. So I want to start with this story. I'm sipping my little chai tea here. But I want to start here. Several years ago, this had to be maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I posted a photo on my Facebook page for a cover photo. It was a cute little aesthetic photo that I got from Pinterest. And it was just an aesthetic photo of a working space, right? So it was a desk, a laptop, a blanket over the chair, planner, notebooks, journals, cute pens, and a coffee cup. And I just thought it was cute. And so I made it my cover photo on Facebook. And I received a message from a woman who is a member of my spiritual parents' church in Florida. And yeah, she wrote me and complimented the photo. Like, oh my goodness, I think that is so cute. I think she thought that that was actually what my workspace looked like and not an aesthetic photo. But either way, she complimented that how cute it was and then said, I noticed in the background that you had a Starbucks cup. And then she began to share, like, did you know that the Starbucks logo is a siren? And if you don't know what that is, a siren it is a form of type of mermaid, but from Greek mythology, but I think it's half human, half woman, or half man and woman, half bird, I believe, either way. But this is a creature of Greek mythology whose singing lured sailors away and onto the rocks and to their death. It's a very lustful spirit, just lures you through seduction and then gets you killed or kills you themselves. It's from Greek mythology. Anybody that understands the kingdom and understands biblical things, a lot of things that we think are make-believe or not make-believe. My husband actually just said this week, but y'all, vampires are real. Mermaids are real. There's an entire demonic kingdom under the water. All these things are real. If you don't believe that, that's perfectly okay. But don't say I didn't tell you, okay? It's real, okay? It wouldn't be this much in your media if it was just a fairy tale, you know? But back to the story. She shared this with me, and then she sent me a full-length article. Now, this is no shade to this woman. I mean, I really appreciate it. I felt like she was truly being a sister in Christ. I felt like she was trying to look out, you know what I mean? And I appreciate that, and I honestly think we need more of that if we want to keep it real. But she sent me a full-length article divulging the demonic agenda behind Starbucks and the logo. And the logo is bad, y'all. If you ever looked at the logo, the logo is literally the fins are open, like because like a woman's legs are open. Nobody catches it because of the way that it's sketched, but it ain't great, you know. But here's the thing. She sent me the article, and then she said, I wanted to know what your thoughts were on it as a, you know, as a woman of God. And I was very transparent with her. I said, well, you know, I don't have a conviction about going to Starbucks whatsoever. If the Lord ever convicts me and shows me that this is something that he wants me to part with, or there's a revelation or perspective I need to catch up on, I absolutely will yield to the Father. But right now, you know, I don't see that. Okay, so here's the thing. Y'all, we live in Babylon. Okay. And when I say Babylon, that's not the name. Obviously, I live in the United States of America, but y'all, we live in Babylon. And so what that means is more so like if you ever read the book or the story of Daniel, you can know that in the scriptures, Daniel lived in a wicked nation called Babylon. He was besieged. What that means is there was a war, one party, and it was something that happened historically all throughout scriptures, and something that happened a lot historically, period. But two nations, two countries, two cities, whatever, would go to war. Whoever lost the war, the people that lost became the slaves of the other nation. And so God's people became enslaved to the Babylonian nation, and they were a besieged nation. And the reason why they lost the battle was because at the time, Israel was neck deep in idolatry, and they had turned from God. And so when you don't have God, there you go. And so Daniel, all his entire story took place in a besieged nation. And the thing is this, no matter how much of a man of God that he truly was, no matter how holy he was, no matter how anointed he was, no matter how called he was, no matter how upright and righteous he was, he lived in Babylon. So that means that everybody went to the same grocery store. The woman that checked him out at the grocery store might have been a witch. Okay. It was a wicked nation. Witchcraft and many other gods and many other things were very popular in that nation. And so I say that we're living in Babylon because look at the world, look at TV. You are in the world, but you're not of it. You know, if you walk around, you're going to see all types of restaurants and movie theaters and grocery stores. Y'all, I would love if everything we owned, everything in America was Christian or faith-based, but it's not. It's not. And guess what? You're not in sin because you shop at Walmart. And Walmart may not have Christian values or may sell something in a store that goes against your belief system, right? You're not in sin if you go to this movie theater. And in the movie theater, they have decorations for Halloween. So now I'm never going to the movie theater again. That's not necessarily biblical. That would have to be a personal conviction. And so I wanted to preface this by starting and saying, y'all, we live in Babylon. So essentially, when if somebody comes at me with something like that, my perspective is always, yeah, we live in Babylon, y'all. So some things I'm going to have a conviction about, and I'm going to feel the voice of the Lord, and I'm going to obey. Some things are automatic. You know from instinct, okay, I can't indulge in that. And then there are other things where It's not that it's a gray area. It's just you live in Babylon. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I see LGBTQ stuff in Target, my feelings are not hurt. I live in Babylon. Target is not a Christian store. Target is a regular store in a nation that, if we're honest, is supposed to be built on God's principles, but it's not. It's not. You know what I mean? And so, all that to say, I don't have to buy the LGBTQ stuff. Okay. I don't have to support it, but I can't tell this company that has never professed to having Christian values that they can only sell Christian things. I can't do that. I don't even think I should. I don't even think that's ethical or biblical. And I honestly don't think I would ever lead you to do that. I think the issue comes into play if the store starts to bash Christian things. Like one thing about a Target or a Walmart or a name any superstore that you can think of, they're going to sell both. You're going to see Christian stuff and you're going to see wicked stuff. If I go to Books A Million, when you walk in, they got witchcraft, you know what I mean, pins right at the front door. They got a whole witchcraft section, and then they have a whole Christian spiritual section because they're just a bookstore. You know what I mean? There's a variety of things, right? And so here's the thing. I said that to say this. I did not have that conviction at that time. About 2 weeks ago, this is recent. And mind you, I've talked to God about this, never felt conviction. The Lord's never told me, blah, blah, blah. About 2 weeks ago, I was driving. I was not going to Starbucks. I was driving past a Starbucks on the parkway headed to my house. And I happened to turn my head in my car and I saw a Starbucks sign. And when I saw the logo, it was like I saw it with new eyes. I saw it and said, oh my gosh, that is demonic. I was just sitting there like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Like, it looked as demonic as it is to me for the first time, right? Not that I didn't know this information or ever doubted it. It was just, again, y'all, we live in Babylon. So some things you're going to have a conviction about and some things you're not. And for me, I'm not telling any of my listeners or watchers, do not go to Starbucks anymore. I'm not saying that. My spiritual parents still go to Starbucks, okay? But what I am saying is that I, Samantha, suddenly just didn't feel comfortable. I suddenly had a personal conviction and said, you know what? I don't feel comfortable getting my drinks from there anymore. And I found a whole new store that gives me my chai tea, okay? But I'm saying all this to really hit home when it comes to purity and when it comes to convictions and when it comes to that type of thing. The reason that many of you have a difficulty in your adult life is because you have no real convictions about anything. Not for real. Right? I say this with love, but many people who have given their life to Christ have subscribed to the Christian girl, and I hate using that term because really it should be Christian woman, but that's, if you want to know more about that, then watch episode one, Girlhood versus Womanhood, but has subscribed to the Christian woman aesthetic, right? And so it's cute and it's popping and it's trendy, but you actually may or may not have actually let the Holy Spirit in to start the work of conviction. And see, the problem we have two extremes. You try to be your own conviction, be your own convictor and not God. And so now you're afraid of everything. Or on the other end, you convince yourself everything is okay, right? And you never lean into the Holy Spirit again. And now anything goes in your life. Listen, y'all, life is not fun without conviction. I must be the one to tell you this. Life is not fun. It's not fruitful. It's not blessed. It's not holy. It's not all the things that you want it to be without conviction. Here's the thing. Foundational convictions or convictions, they bring order. We understand that God is a God of order. One thing we say at Love Light, like, we believe in freedom within the boundaries of order. Okay. I can't listen, y'all, with love. I'm a prophet. I can't go in somebody's house and snatch the mic because I feel the spirit. I'm out of order. I did not ask that pastor. I did not ask anybody in leadership. I did not follow protocol, right? I can't go up in your house and start making rules and demands. No, I have to ask. It's not my home. Even if you want me to feel like it's home and you want me to feel comfortable and you're just like, you my boo, it's okay. It's your house. And I should respect your house if I claim that I respect you, right? And so conviction is going to bring a level of order, right? And when I talk about conviction, I'm also talking about purity, because really the heart, the root, I believe, of real authentic purity roots in healthy convictions, a healthy standard, right? Even if we say somebody like, man, they have so much class, what they're all you're saying is really that they're a person of high standards. We all should be people of class if that's the case. So convictions bring order. And here's the thing. If there is no order, anything goes. If there is no conviction and no order in your mind, anything goes in your mind. And then you want to know why you're always under such mental attack. Anything goes in your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. Anything goes in your heart. Anything goes in your house. Anything goes in your lifestyle, because you don't have any real conviction about anything. You don't even like the word. You run away from it, or you get into pride and try to convince yourself that it ain't that deep. Okay. Versus letting God, here's the thing. Some things aren't that deep. Everything ain't that deep, but let him tell you something's not that deep. Don't rise up in your own pride and say, well, because I don't want to change, or because I don't want to do something different, that it ain't that deep, because it is. What happens when you feel like it shouldn't be that deep, but the Holy Spirit says that it is? He's not a liar. God is so much of a truth teller that if he told a lie, it would become the truth. He cannot lie. And so if he told you that, hey, this is a big deal, or it's a big deal to me, it's a big deal. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter if everybody around you is doing something different. If God says it's a big deal and he wants you to walk this way. The Bible talks about Noah. Y'all, I'm just following the spirit right now. The Bible talks about Noah. And the Bible starts off by saying that he couldn't find a righteous man to save his life, to do this job. And then he found Noah and Noah's family. And guess what? Noah's family were honoring the Lord, and they were doing things that nobody else was doing. I don't mean nobody in their hood or nobody in their city. I mean, on the globe of earth, nobody was doing what he was doing. And here's the thing. They were the family that was saved. They were the family God used to repopulate the earth. Everybody else died. If they felt like I wanted to fit in, or I wanted to, I'm following the spirit right now. With love, family, I think sometimes the reason life is not so good is because you have to be on trend. And here's the thing, God, we don't serve the God of trend. We serve the God, you know, of identity. We serve the God of timelessness. We serve the God of order. We serve the God of his way or no way. Okay. And sometimes it's like, but everybody is saying this, or everybody is doing this, or everybody's going this direction. And what do I say to my friends? And what do I say to my family? And what do I say? And here's the thing, that makes life not so fun. Because here's the thing, when you were a kid, it's whatever your mom and daddy said, you can hide behind that, but you a grown woman now. So people want to hear what you think and what you say. And you got to have the courage to say something different. You have to have the courage to disagree. You have to have the courage to have your own mind. You have to have the courage to have your own opinion. You have to have the courage to have all of that. Guess what? They kiki and laugh and slapping they leg at what you're doing. But then long term, when what they're doing is to bite them in the butt, they're wondering, man, how did you maintain? Because it's about the fear of the Lord. The Bible says he who fears the Lord is safe. Essentially. I know I feel like I'm butchering the scripture, but what is it? The fear of man is a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord is safe, right? It's usually that our convictions boil down to those two majors. Either you fear God or you fear man. You know what I'm saying? Or right down the middle is a little bit of pride. Because the man that you might fear might be yourself. You don't want to change because it ain't cute. It ain't popping. It ain't whatever, whatever. Somebody might not understand. Somebody might not agree. Mama and them, auntie and them, cousin and them, whoever, daddy and them, grandpa and them might not agree. And that's okay. We talked about it in previous episodes, but you have to be your own woman. You have to be your own woman. You cannot live a life where everything goes. You will have no peace. You cannot live a life where you do whatever you want to do. You will have no peace. I'm here to tell you, I know many of us, when we were kids, we thought that when I'm finally grown, I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. And nobody told you that it don't work like that. Yes, essentially you do what you want to do, but you do what you want to do within the boundaries of reason and wisdom and money and strategy. You can't just say, I don't feel like going to work today, but you have bills. You can't just say, I'm hopping up and I'm flying out of town. And you got responsibilities. You have to square away your responsibilities and then pay and then travel. Don't have children, because now you have somebody who you are responsible for. And so now that you can't do fun things, but you got to plan around your kids. You got to make time. You got to save up money. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you can still do what you want to do, but you're doing what you want to do within the boundaries of wisdom and reason and being realistic, not being so haphazard. You only live once. You know, the whole, yes, you only live once. Don't fumble it. Don't fumble it doing stuff you ain't got no business doing to prove that you only live once. We all know. We are all aware. We can all see. So here's the thing. I want to just break down convictions for you in this, all right? I want you to understand how we decipher through convictions, because oftentimes, especially the content that's out there, I've seen some TikTok videos that will scare the daylights out of you, okay? And it's not holy, but they are saying things that are scriptural. They are saying things that may have a layer of fact to them, but are they truth? Or is it a truth that you need to be ingesting in the season of your life? That's a completely different conversation, and that's a completely different question, okay? So, number one, there is... I first want to say, with love, you cannot be the conviction police, okay? You cannot be mad at people for not having the convictions that you have, okay? You might be in a space or in a place that they are not yet. You might be in a space, in a place that they don't want to be yet. And as much as you might be right, once you offer truth, that's all you can do. My husband and I talk heavy in our church about inundation. I don't expect you to get it the first time I ever tell you. My husband does not expect you to get it the first time he ever tells you. We're going to bring this up again. We're going to say something about it again. We're going to have an overall language of how we talk and how we do that is going to remind you of that sermon that was preached, that talk that you had, that scripture that we shared, that thing, because we naturally need inundation, right? The Bible says one man plants, another man waters, and God gives the increase. And so what that means is, like, yeah, a seed was sown, but that seed is not a tree yet. So you still think you could do what you want to do. That conviction has not matured yet. You see what I'm saying? The first time I read that article about the Starbucks, it was long before I met her. That was when the seed was planted. It was years before I had my own conviction about it. I didn't just say, well, I'm not going to do it because she said so. I would have to have felt convicted in that moment when we were talking about it, but I didn't. And guess what? It's still not a sin to get a cup of coffee from Starbucks. It's just not. You're not going to hell. It's just not. The Lord has not revealed to any prophets that the Starbucks coffee is laced with anything, you know. Another story, my husband had a dream. I was a really big Victoria's Secret lover, from the undergarments, but I love layering my scents. I used to love the sprays, the Pure Seduction, all of that. It layered so well with so many different perfumes that I had. And I loved it. I enjoyed it. I never had a conviction of going up in there. And then the Lord gave my husband a dream about some witchcraft that was coming, and it was going to come through Victoria's Secret, and especially in their body care and in their scents and in their things. And I had an immediate conviction. It wasn't like, well, he told me that, but I'm going to pray about it for myself. That's fine, but I couldn't lie and say I wasn't convicted. Like, I immediately felt the presence of God. I knew God was speaking in the stream. I knew he was absolutely right. And so I didn't even know how much Victoria's stuff I had. I had body gels and the Victoria's Secret pink line with the scents, you know, and all of that. I had to pack all of that stuff up. I had, like, the trash was high, full of Victoria's Secret stuff that I had just around the house or on my dresser. I was an immediate conviction. Was I in sin for shopping at Victoria's Secret? No. No, I was not. Okay. But God released something for, and that's the thing, like, you guys, you gotta understand, when it comes to convictions and standards, you gotta let God be God. You cannot do his job for him. Stop trying to make sure that you always feel convicted as opposed to letting the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit, having a real intimate relationship. Some things God has been wanting to talk to you about for years, but you won't engage with him when he brings it up to you in prayer. You won't engage with him when he brings it up, and he's not trying to talk about to shame you or make you feel small or make you feel bad or make you feel like something is wrong with you. No, he wants to bring it up so that he can begin to heal it and you can begin to have freedom and breakthrough in that area. Convictions are forms of protection, but you have to choose to be protected. You have to choose to be cared for. Like, God, I don't like that I'm convicted about this, but God, you are shielding me from something. And if I yield to this conviction, man, you look, it's like your parents trying to let you know that that meat might be greasy. Okay. On the other side, they know about those family members better than you do, but you like, nah, you know, and then you find out you get burned and you're like, Mom, why don't you tell me? I did, but you did not yield to the protection. You wanted to go your own way and do your own thing. Here's the thing, we have free will and choice. So sometimes the reason we got bit was not because God is not good and not because God is not faithful and not because he did not warn you. You just went your own way. But you can't look over your shoulder and live your life watching over everything. That's not living either. So let the Holy Spirit speak. Let him surprise you. Matter of fact, the day that my husband told me about that Victoria's Secret thing, I had bought a brand new 2 bottles of body mist from there 2 days prior. My husband didn't even remember that I bought that because he just thinks that I'm just out here, you know, when I come home with cute little stuff, he'd just be like, okay, my wife likes cute things. You know, it's fine. He didn't even think about where it was from or what that entire case. And so I'm over here like, man, I just bought something. I haven't even popped the cap on it yet. And that something could have been on that. And God was sent the warning before I even had a chance to open it and put it in my skin. You see what I'm saying? And so it's understanding that you cannot be the conviction police. Okay. You got to let Holy Spirit do the convicting. And so we walk by the Spirit. If you're unsure, okay, Holy Spirit, show me, why do I feel weird about this? Why do I feel uncomfortable? Lord, show me, is it fear or is it conviction? And wait on the answer. God will not leave you in the dark and he will not make a fool out of you. He loves you entirely too much. Another thing is there are foundational convictions. Okay. So foundational convictions are the milk of convictions. What I mean by the milk of convictions is the Bible talks about immaturity, but being like on milk, but immaturity being like a baby drinking milk. But it's at a certain point, a baby shouldn't be on milk anymore. A baby start transitioning into solids, and the Bible referred to it as meat. And so there are foundational convictions, y'all. There are things, I have to say this, that you should be convicted about. It is not personal. It is for every believer. Y'all, everybody should have a conviction about cussing. Everybody. I mean, cussing out of your mouth and watching shows and movies and music where there is a ridiculous amount of cursing. And you over here watching it like with no, like, I feel perfectly fine when I watch that because that's on a sign that something is wrong. You can't, the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you is never going to be comfortable with that language. He's never going to be okay with it. But if it gets to the point, the Bible talks about having a seared conscience. And the Bible talks, like, there are people who have lost their ability to be convicted. And then they want to know why their life is going the way it is. And those people may possibly go to hell. And I say that very loosely because I do not believe that everything is sending you to hell. And we should live that fearful life. But some people, y'all, with love are going to hell. Okay. And a lot of times the Bible talks about people who have a seared conscience. They've been sinning so long that they've lost the gift of conviction. And so now, just because you feel fine and I'm good, and I mean, I can watch hours of cussing and still go worship the Lord. I can watch hours, a full movie where cussing is in every other word. And I can go pray the heavens down. There's so much mixture when you open your mouth. There's so much mixture when you sing. There's so much mixture when you pray. There's so much mixture. And God is not like, don't pray and don't sing or don't, you know, don't do things. But what he is saying is, no, you need to repent for that movie. Let me wash you and make the effort to live a new kind of life, right? They are foundational convictions: cursing, lying, murder, perversion. These are like the milk of convictions. There are, I know some people don't like to say like, you know, you should be convicted. Well, I'm not there yet. God's still working on me. There are some things that God is not still working on. There are some things that God is going to deal with the day you get saved. It may not be everything. Even if you're still struggling with cursing, the conviction around it is usually there when you really have an encounter with God. Usually you don't feel like you can actually kill somebody and be fine with it. You know what I mean? You may try to do a whole bunch of lying and it don't feel good no more, because that's called a conviction. This is not who you are anymore. All things have passed away and all things have become new. You are a new woman, right? You have a brand new life, right? Your character has changed. This doesn't work for you anymore. There, perversion, you know what I mean? Watching a whole lot of perversion or ingesting a whole lot of perversion, even if you can still do it, it does not feel the same. Why? Because that is the foundation of an aspect. That's something that you should be convicted about. Y'all, it is not normal to throw a party around things that you should be convicted about and you're not. At that point, you should say, Lois, why am I not? And show it to me. Okay. And then there's the convictions of maturity. There are things that you have to grow into. You're just not there yet. And you listen, y'all, you cannot make yourself be there wherever there is. You cannot force it or make it. You could be as religious as you want to be. You could quote a scripture every time you open your mouth. You could do a whole lot of things. And it is God that grows you. It is God that matures you. It is God that's going to get you there. It is not your job. You partner with him, you surrender, you submit, and you let be God in your life. Okay? So this conviction of your maturity. But here's the thing. If you've been saved 15, 20 years, and you still only have the convictions that you got the day you got saved, that might be something you might want to pray about. Because if I've been saved for 20 years and I'm really walking with the Lord, he's going to talk to me about things. A lot of things are going to begin to shift and to change and begin to heal. He's going to convict me about things that I didn't even realize. He's going to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? And he's going to shape me and mold me. And in 20 years, you should be not only more in love with Christ, but probably just better off overall, because you've let God chip away the things that desire to break you, to heal the things that have been hurting you. And it doesn't mean that you don't have more to go, because if everything was good, you could just go up to heaven and die. But you're still here. So obviously there's more work to do. This isn't about perfection. This is about yielding. If I'm really walking with God, you cannot tell me that God is not going to talk to you about this. You ever listen to somebody or see something and you say, you can't tell me we got the same Holy Ghost, because God would never let me do no mess like that. You're right. You're right. So there's a lot of things. They may not have been saved very long. They might not be yielding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They may have let their maturity live and let their immaturity live and let their maturity die. You know, there's a lot of different factors, but there is the convictions of maturity. There are things that you have to mature into. And then there are your intimate convictions. There are things, because of who you are and the purpose and the destiny that is on your life, you cannot do or you should do. Okay? Here's, you know, I'm pescatarian. I talk about that all the time. Yes, I agree that we probably shouldn't eat meat. Again, you're not going to hell for chicken. Okay? You know what I'm saying? It's just not like that. But at the same time, I can't eat meat. The meat that I am clear to eat is fish. I cannot go past that. God is doing something in my bloodline. God is doing something in my health. God is doing something with my children and the way that I raise them. God is doing something. So specifically, it's a private personal conviction. Health is everybody's conviction, but a meatless life is a personal conviction. And many other people, I'm not the only one who has that personal conviction, but everybody doesn't yield to it. And that's a separate conversation. But that's my personal conviction. Okay. I have personal convictions about a lot of different things. I just talked to you guys about the Starbucks thing. I probably will never walk inside of a Victoria's Secret again. You know what I mean? And then there are things God has not given me that conviction. It's not a conviction I'm going to mature into, nor is it a conviction that is personal to me. And I don't know what convictions I will have in the next 10 years, because I have to walk things out with the Lord. There's a mindset that has to be developed. There's a heart posture. You know, when people do surgery, if a person is really sick and they have to have multiple surgeries, they break it up. And so what they do is they'll have two surgeries here, heal for 3 months, have another surgery here, heal for 6 months, have another surgery here. Why? Because if they try to do all the surgeries at once, it will be too much trauma to the body and it will kill you. There are some truths that it would be too much trauma to your body. You're not ready for it yet. With love, you might see yourself as a very mature person, but guess what? There's some things that you are not mature enough for God to talk to you about yet. And so when God starts talking to you about it, even though it doesn't feel good, take it as the compliment that it is. You are now in a place where you're ready for me to talk to you about this. You have matured, and there is a new level of joy and peace and access that you're going to attain now, because you're now finally ready to let this thing go. All right, family, that is all that I have for this episode. But for our goodies, bless the Lord, for our goodies, you guys join the sisterhood. We have a free private Facebook group community called the Daughter Sisterhood. And in there, we talk about all the things, you know, and we get into our healing, our breakthrough, like-minded Christian women, you know, therapy talks, all the things. We just did a live interview with DaQuasia Timmons on her new book release, Purity After Dark. It was a powerful conversation. You can check that out. So if you would like to be in that sisterhood, the link is available in my Instagram link tree at DaughterHSV or on Facebook at DaughterHSV. As well as you can book a session with me one-on-one, any for life coaching or Christian counseling needs. Okay. I have some open spaces on the calendar. You can shoot me an email at samantha.grimecc@gmail.com, or you can DM me at DaughterHSV Instagram or DaughterHSV Facebook or DaughterHSV TikTok, whatever works for you. Okay. We have a hair and scalp oil. The Lord gave me a dream 3 years ago now, revealing to me the formulation for hair and scalp oil. It has been a blessing to my household, a blessing to my husband, my kids, myself. And we've been selling it and people have been loving it. And we have some bottles left. And so you guys can partake in that. It is a eucalyptus and grapefruit hair and scalp oil. You're going to love it. It's going to bring so much health to your scalp. And if you have a healthy scalp, your hair will grow. You will have length retention. And did I mention this product gives you a gorgeous shine? Yes, yes. And so you can participate in that. Not this week, but starting back next week, every week we do live Bible studies on Facebook, on our Facebook coaching page at DaughterHSV. And we're working through the book of Ephesians. I think we just wrapped Ephesians chapter 2. And so our next study, which will be next week, we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 3. I'm super excited about that. I believe it's everything. And also, please subscribe to this podcast as well as check us out on YouTube at Daughter TV. And family, that's all the goodies that I have for you right now. Oh, also, I am the author of 2 books. My first book is called Feel So Good to Be Loved, 21 Days of Discovering the Authentic Love of God and Significance, Slaying the Demon of Low Self-Esteem and Stepping Back into Your Day One Significance. Both of those books are available on Amazon.com and Kindle. All right, family, I love you guys so much, and I will see you guys next time. All right.